Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I guess we're just going to get into God's Word now. My brother's looking at me to see if I need to hand him anything to play part of that. But we're going to condense our time and go to God's Word today. How many people believe the promises of God? Let me see your hand. You believe them. The Bible said the promises of God are yea and amen to them that believe. In other words, it's that even so let it be. I've ministered a sermon some years ago and called Amen People. Amen simply means be it unto me according to your word. I receive it according to your word. Amen. We're coming into the Christmas season, and we're going to be hearing songs about Bethlehem and about Mary and about Jesus. And one of the outstanding things is that a question that was asked from a young virgin was, how can I bring forth a child seeing that I don't know a man? And the angel said, well, the Spirit of the Most High is going to overshadow you. In other words, God's going to do this by His Spirit, and that's going to bypass all of the normal, natural things that you would consider. And she said, amen. Amen. Literally. That's what amen means, what she said. Be it unto me according to thy word. So that's how faith works. It's in the context of be it unto me according to thy word. Can you say amen? And receiving that, praise the Lord. Well, there's other promises here that are in the Word of God as well. And it's the promise that God is going to make everything work together for good to them that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. It is the knot at the end of the rope. It is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And it says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Verse 29 is going to qualify verse 28. And if you don't understand verse 29, you're going to be trying to claim something that you simply don't understand or appreciate. Amen. Verse 29 said, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. Can you say amen? Amen. Do you see that? For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. The next verse reveals His purpose. And that's for every person in this room that's a Christian. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. Amen. In other words, He wants us to be like Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, it said, be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk even as He walked. Amen. Speaking of Jesus. And walk in love, rather, even as He walked. The fivefold ministry is to achieve one grand purpose, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. Can you say amen? Now, here's the part that you need to get a hold of today. God has promised to work in you to that end. He's promised that. The Bible literally said it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of His own good pleasure. Amen. And listen to this verse of Scripture. I'm going to throw some Scripture out so we can get a handle on this today. Amen. The Scriptures are very clear that God wants us to be like Jesus. Let me just give you 1 Peter chapter 4. Listen to this. Amen. The Bible said, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has what? Ceased from sin, that he no more live his life to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God. Amen. Amen. What is the will of God for everybody in here? The highest. Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind, reaching forth to the things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. The high calling is not just getting you to heaven. The high calling is not just the eternal life you're going to enjoy in heaven. That's not the high calling. That's where you're going to live forever. But that's not the high calling that Paul was after. Amen. If your only goal in life is to achieve heaven, then becoming more like Jesus is not part of your life goal. Amen. It's not part of your heart's song. It's not part of the passion of your life. God's passion for you is for you and I to become like Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. He's predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. But He needs our cooperation. So for as much as Christ suffered for us in the flesh, or suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. In other words, don't always try to get out of everything that God is trying to take you through. If Jesus had tried to get out of the cross, no one could be saved today. If Jesus had not prayed that great surrendering prayer, "Not my will, but thy will be done," in Gethsemane, there wouldn't be a Christian in the building today. Can you say amen? God can use the trials of life. God can use the intents of the enemy. God can use the things that seem to break us down. Because we always want to sit on that pinnacle of blessing, that pedestal of grace and mercy, where we just everything's just blessed and nothing goes wrong. And we hear preachers imply that that can happen. You better turn them off, because it doesn't work that way. Can you say, life doesn't work that way? God didn't set it up that way. God didn't design it that way. Amen? God designed you, amen, to become absolutely 100% dependent on Him. And when we are, He begins a work within us to make us more like His Son. So He doesn't take away every weakness in you. The Apostle Paul thought, you know, if I just build my faith, then all of these persecutions and oppositions and circumstances that hinder me from preaching as freely as I would like to. He said, I prayed to the Lord about that. And He said, because there was a thorn in my flesh. There was an emissary sent from Satan to buffet me. That means a special agent. That means one of Satan's best was sent directly, specifically, to head Paul off, to discourage him, dissuade him, cause him to back up and not continue to pursue the purpose and will of God, and particularly the proclaiming of the gospel. By the way, the Apostle Paul wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. I don't like to hear modern-day preachers diss him. And I've heard them diss him. I heard a preacher not too many years ago that's on television, and he said Paul didn't have to go through all the trials he went through. He could have used his faith. And I thought, wait a minute now. You're saying the Apostle Paul needs your tapes. The Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, needs to get your tapes on faith. And you know what he said? And I don't know why people continue to listen to guys like this. He said, but different strokes for different folks. In other words, if Paul wanted to go through that, fine, but I'm not going through any of that. I thought, that's really great to be able to say that, because you haven't armed yourself with the same mind as Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. If you're going to be like Him, it's going to take some transforming of the mind. Can you say amen? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who though He thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, He made Himself of Himself no reputation, but humbled Himself and took on Himself the form of a servant and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. Therefore, God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name that is named, of things in heaven and earth and beneath the earth, that at the sound of His name every knee might bow and every tongue might confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You don't get God's honor by lifting yourself up. You get honored by God by humbling yourself. Amen. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That means to submit unto Him. Amen. And He will exalt you when? In due season. I've been waiting a long time. But you know something? I do not want. I told Pamela the other day, God has given us radio ministry. I remember going into I remember when we ministered and their balcony was full, the church was full, and people were being turned away in the parking lot. I remember when that place was overflowing. We saw that in all of these 37 years of ministry. But we're in a different day. We're in a self-indulgent church age. We're in the Laodicean age, when the church has a different testimony than she did, amen, a few decades ago. Her testimony matches Laodicea exactly. I am rich, increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. But Jesus said, you've got to have a whole lot more than that to be in the will of God and to be in the purpose of God and to be pleasing to God. He said, you say, I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. By the way, while we're addressing that, the Bible said there are those that suppose that gain equals godliness. And the Scripture said, from such turn away. Because that is a worldly value system, a carnal value system. How many know when you really meet the Lord, the paradigm changes? The paradigm changes. Amen. All things pass away. Everything becomes new. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, there's a new a value system that is inside the authentic believer today and preached in the true church. Praise God. The kingdom is above everything because the king is above everyone. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And by the way, if you have needs, God says, I want to meet them. But I want the kingdom to be first in your life. I'm not going to help the devil make you worldly or earthbound. You say, I'm rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. But I say, you're blind, you're miserable, you're poor, and you're naked. He said, and that constitutes lukewarmness. And because you are not hot or cold, but lukewarm, I will reject you. I will spew you out of my mouth. Gain does not equal godliness. Can you say amen? Amazing thing was, there was a church that was going through a poverty situation. And I'm not preaching poverty. God will meet your needs, and God was going to take care of them, and did. But he reminded them of where their real value system ought to be. They were in a guild town. And if you were a Christian, you couldn't get a job. Because the union had to, it was like a union. And if you were not a part of that trade union, you couldn't work in that city. And Christians were hurting because of that. That's how the devil was persecuting them. And Jesus says, I know your poverty. I know your sacrifice for the sake of the gospel, the persecution you're going through. But thou art rich. Isn't that incredible? Don't ever look at your checkbook to determine your wealth. If God meets your need, how much you have in the bank is immaterial. People can write off debts. I've seen God come through and do things that just boggle my mind. Amen. And we need it from. We need God's just absolute breakthroughs from time to time. Amen. But we got to accept the fact that true riches isn't equated with what you have in Jesus. And I don't believe that you can expect God to do a whole lot more for you until you start rejoicing over what you have in Christ. Amen. And quit whining over what you don't have materially. Amen? Amen. The Bible said, you take you no thought. And I don't see how you can fulfill that scripture with a tape full of tapes on how to, a truckload of tapes on how to get it. When the Bible said, don't even think about it. Take you no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, or wherewith you shall be clothed. For after all these things the Gentiles go after. Their life is consumed with indulging themselves and worrying about the future and worrying about how I'm going to get by. That consumes their life. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible said, you don't think like that. I want you to think differently. Take ye no thought for what you will eat or drink or wherewith you shall be clothed. Because your Father knows that you have need of all of these things. You don't have to twist his arm. You don't have to show him your faith. You don't have to inform him. I heard a preacher say the other day that he needed a desk in his office because the other one was all scarred. And he said, you can't think big thoughts without a big desk. And I thought, well, then, boy, I don't know. Amen. Paul wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament without a big desk. and you say amen. So evidently there's some pretty big thoughts going on there without the desk because the Holy Spirit was indwelling him. I think we need people more involved in the greatness and the bigness of God than the bigness of their office and desk. Amen. One man's office is 9,000 square feet. His office, this building, all the way back and all the way here, 4 bedroom, 4 bath before we transformed it. This building is 2,700 square feet. Well, just multiply that, amen, to 9,000 square feet. That's his office, honey. That's not the church or some fellowship hall. That's one man's office. I guess he's thinking some super big thoughts. Office like that. What could you do in an office like this? Amen. That's a nice office. But so he's talking about all this bigness. And God is, and here's Paul. Here's the Apostle Paul. God's going to give him the revelation that constitutes about 50%, amen, of the New Testament, of the doctrine of the church. Amen. He's going to be caught up in the third heaven. Going to see that. Oh, by the way, when the things he saw, he didn't write a book about it and profit from it. Can you say amen? By the way, the people that said they were there, they contradict each other in what they saw. So ultimately, I don't buy those books. You say, Brother Bimble, do you think they were really there? I have no idea, and I don't even care to know. I know someone that was there for sure. Yes. Amen. John was there. And there's a book that describes everything we need to know till we get there. And it's detailed. It's called the Book of Revelation. Amen. Can you say amen? And it wasn't written by a guy that's going to profit from it. It's a guy that's ostracized because of his faith under heavy persecution. Amen. They tell me, I talked to a Bible professor of a Bible school because I went to a graduating class and prayed over that class. But he was telling me that writers who wrote around the time say that John was not just ostracized to Patmos, but he was 60 years old when he got the revelation. Amen. And he was working 12 hours a day in slave labor when God gave him the revelation. Isn't that incredible? If he needed a big desk and a big office space, amen, to think these big grand thoughts, he would have been in deep trouble, and we would too, because we wouldn't have this Bible here today. But thank God he had the Holy Spirit, amen, and he had the right a value system. Praise God, because you know what he said? He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You can ostracize him. You can put him on an island. You can put him at slave labor at 60 years old. But you can't keep him from moving into the presence of God on the Lord's day. And you can't keep God from coming to him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he said, when I got in the presence of God, I heard a voice behind me like many waters flowing. Everybody say Niagara Falls. And I turned to see this one who was speaking with such power and such force. And his hair was as wool. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Amen. He had on a robe down to the foot. His feet were as burnished brass. And he was clothed with a golden belt. And he said, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the first. I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. So show me your Coupe de Ville. I'd rather be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Can you say amen? I'd rather have a revelation of Jesus. I'd rather hear his voice. Because the paradigm has changed. Listen, God tells you to buy me a new Cadillac. Buy it for me. I'll drive it, but I don't need it. That's not what I got into the ministry for. That's not why I'm living for Jesus. Amen. And I'm understanding God's purpose for every one of you is to not make you more like them, the world. It's to make you more like him, your Savior. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son. And that involves obedience. Amen. He became obedient. Let this mind be in you. Amen. He humbled himself, took on himself the form of a servant, and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. Can you say amen? Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. For as much as he has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. If you want to defeat the enemy, amen, get this mindset. Because all his appeal is to the self-indulgent lust of our flesh. That's where he makes the inroads into our life. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible said, let no man say in the book of James, when he's tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust and enticed. Amen? Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin brings forth death. So Jesus said, make a commitment to be obedient. Every time I talk about self-denial, there's churches within driving distance, 5 minutes that'll teach you self-indulgence. But that's not what Christ represented, and that's not what he taught, and that's not God's purpose for you. How many people here go through trials and tests? How many want to get out of them as quick as possible? How many found out you can't get out as quick as you would like to get out? That God takes you through things. Why would he do that? Why would he do it? And where did Jesus suffer? You don't suffer defeat at the hand of the enemy. You don't live a life of defeat. Jesus never represented that. But when he went into Gethsemane, made up of two words, literally meaning olive press. Because when I see the Garden of Gethsemane, I see this, I think of a garden of some kind of floral something, you know, growing. But the Garden of Gethsemane was an olive garden. And Gethsemane, it was named because there was an olive press. And an olive press was flat rock with a huge rock on a pulley above it, weighing hundreds of pounds. And they had to work it with pulleys to be able to lift that up. And they would take a net like Peter would use to fish with and put the olives in that net and then take that net full of olives and lay it on that rock. And there were grooves in the rock for the oil of the olive to go down and out. And then they would let this weight down. Everybody say Gethsemane. Gethsemane meant an olive press where the olive was crushed until the oil came out. Gethsemane. And I'm going to tell you something. No one in here would purposely lay down on that rock and say, crush me. I'm not talking about just your life. I'm talking about the pressure that is unrelenting until all of that is mashed out. All the oil is mashed out of the olive. Jesus said, I'm going to a place to pray to represent what is happening to me in order to obey God. And he went to Gethsemane. Everybody say olive press. And what did he say? You can see the pressure and the submission so that he could save us and obey his Father. The Bible said when he prayed, his soul was sorrowful unto death. Let me tell you something about the life of the Apostle Paul. He said in 1 Corinthians, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble. Look at the prayer. Can you see the olive press coming down on him? I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the trouble that we experienced in Asia. How we were pressed beyond measure and despaired of life itself. I'm going to tell you something. When you come to the end of yourself, it's not a bad place to be. It's where resurrection power begins. It doesn't begin when you get the Holy Ghost. It doesn't begin when you get gifts and get anointed. Resurrection power begins when you die to self and come alive to God. And you have a testimony that it's no more you that lives. It's Christ that lives in you. My wife talked about my own insecurities, the way I was raised and put down my whole life and lived my whole life trying to overcome a bad self-image. I remember when I was in high school, we had to bring a verbal report to pass 12th grade English. And in order to do that, I had to read a book and then give the book report orally before the entire class. These are my classmates. These are guys I knew and gals that I knew. But standing up in front of them with a dead quiet classroom and speaking, boy, that got me. That scared me. Oh, man, it made me sick to my stomach. I'll never forget going to my teacher and asking her and saying, could I possibly give you some written work? Anything you ask, however many pages. I have an aversion to this. I couldn't put it in the terms I have now because I couldn't hardly talk to her about it. But I was just begging and pleading. And she said, there's no exception. And you can't pass my class unless you give this report. It's necessary for credit because people would try to get out of this. Nobody liked to do it. Nobody was natural born speakers. And I remember just, worrying about that. The day come and I couldn't eat breakfast and I was sweating bullets and I was sitting there and I could feel, I'm going to tell you, my right guard gave out. Can you say, man? I could just feel it dripping. You ever been in a nervous situation where it's not the heat? But you just feel the sweat dripping down the sides and you hope it don't show those big gold sweat rings. Amen. And that pressure was on me. And I was sitting there and I must have got pale. Literally pale because, thank God, my name starts with a V. Most of the time I dreaded it because I thought I'm always at the end of the line when we go in alphabetical order. But this is one day I said, thank you, Jesus. I wish it was... Zawalski, can you say, man, hallelujah, put me to all the way to the end. But they were coming down, A, B, C, D, and asking these people to come forward, and I knew they're going to come down to me. And I just, she saw how pale and sick. I didn't know how sick I looked, but she who had no compassion, no wiggle room about this, she came back to my desk. And she whispered to me, she said, if you will bring me. She told me how many pages book report. She said, you don't have to do this today. And I'm sitting there about to fall out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And for God to call me to preach. And you know how hard it is for me to quit. Can you say amen? Praise God. Amen. Listen, for God to pick me, anoint me, appoint me. The guy who, listen, Moses said, there's no need sending me down to Egypt. I can't speak. I'm slow of speech. I have a speech impediment. And you know what God said? He said, who made a man's mouth? And did it help Moses? Not at all. He wasn't looking for someone that felt adequate, but someone that would be totally dependent on the Spirit of God. And he said something, and I like this. He said, okay, I admit it, you can't talk. And you won't even let me help you talk in the sense of reminding you that who made a man's mouth, but... I will give you Aaron. You tell him what to say, he'll do the talking. Yeah. And to me, Aaron is a type of the mighty Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? The difference is, I don't tell him what to say so he can do the talking. He tells me what to say. Yeah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But he came, praise God. We got so many people that are so good at it. Amen. They're so good at it, they listen to their own tapes, and I think that's why they're in such a mess, and they're so confused. Amen. They need to get in the Word of God again. Hallelujah. And here's some checks and balances. Let me tell you something. God wants you like His Son. Trials and tests is something that He watches over. Praise God. Think it not strange then, the fiery trial that's come to try you, as some strange thing, some unique thing, some defeat has taken place in your life. No, nothing strange or unique about you going through a test, me going through a test. You say, but Brother Bimba, how long is it going to be before I come out as gold? Amen. As long as it takes for all of the oil to come out of those olives. As long as it takes for us to say, Lord, I want Your will to be done. Amen. And I'm going to trust You through this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus learned obedience through the things He suffered. How are you going to learn it if God wants you like Him? For as much as He has suffered for us in the flesh, went to Gethsemane experience, arm yourself with the same mind. Don't run from the olive press. My flesh doesn't want that. If I had the choice, I would choose that. Jesus said, but not what I will, but what You will be done. Can you say amen? What You will be done. Praise God. What You will be done. If you're going through a test, God wants you to pass it with flying colors. Amen. Though your faith be tried as by fire, the Bible said the end result will be something pure, not something that has been damaged, but something that has been perfected. Can you say, man, not something that has hurt you, but something that has helped you? Can you say, man, something that has helped you do what? Crucify the flesh, deny yourself, take up your cross so you're well qualified to follow Him. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Everybody goes through trials. There are no exceptions. Can you say amen? Everyone goes to Gethsemane. Everyone comes to a crisis point where we have to say, Lord, if You don't give me this, I won't serve You anymore. If You don't do this, I'm calling it all off. Or nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will be done. And I'm going to tell you, it isn't His will for you to be defeated. It isn't His will for the devil to hurt you or harm you in any way. But the flesh has to suffer in order for His purposes to be realized. You can't have your way in His way. You have to make a choice. I used to pray, oh Lord, whatever I could do for You. And I never dreamed He would call me to preach. I thought I'll do anything. Actually, if He'd asked me, at the time, preaching wasn't anything I thought God would ever consider. And I remember anything I could do to help, I did. Amen. I became the assistant Sunday school superintendent. Oh, I had me a title. I could do something for God. I'm the assistant Sunday school superintendent. You know what my duties were? Empty the garbage cans and sharpen the pencils. And I emptied the garbage cans and sharpened the pencils when I first got saved because I was the assistant Sunday school superintendent. My Bible said, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. I emptied trash for the Lord. I sharpened pencils for the Lord. And it also said, whatever you do, do it with thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Honey, we didn't have the electric pencil sharpener. We had the old crank type. And I was enthusiastic. And I'd sharpen them bad boys, and they'd go to use them. They were so sharp that they'd break off the first time, and they told me to lighten up on that pencil sharpener. Amen. But I was doing it for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Went down to a camp meeting and people were going forward to receive Jesus. And I went down there to just put my arm around somebody and kind of quietly pray as they were seeking God. And I just want to do anything and everything I can for the Lord. But if He had told me about preaching then, it would have scared me to death. Amen. Because I'm the guy that was getting kind of sick and faint. And I remember down there praying and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. And I'd never heard God speak to me on the inside. Never heard that. Amen. I know and I think about it many times that He said unto Moses, because the man Moses was most meek. Everybody say meek. Come on, if you're out there honking your horn talking about what a paragon of spiritual power you are, you'll never hear the voice of God like He wants you to hear it. Moses was above all men of his generation most meek. And you know what he said about that man? He said to others, I will speak to the rest of the prophets, I'll speak to in visions and dreams, but not so my servant Moses. Him I will speak to mouth to mouth. That meant Moses, when in that tent of meeting, heard God speak to him like you're hearing me speak to you. Can you say amen? Amen. And I thought, oh God, I'd love to hear that voice. But I heard that voice without the sounds. God spoke to me out of the clear blue and said, I'm going to strengthen your voice. And I jerked upright before I realized no voice had come to my ears. But boy, it was so amplified in my spirit. I didn't know what to make of that. But God was preparing me for a day when I would stand shaking behind a pulpit reading from the book of Malachi. I didn't know it was Malachi. I didn't know while they were doing what you were doing. I said, please turn with me to the first chapter of Malachi. Well, it could be Malachi if you've never studied or understood how it's pronounced. Amen. I thought the epistles were the wives of the apostles. Amen. That's a joke. I knew a little more than that. But I was just, but God said, I'll strengthen your voice. I'll strengthen your voice. And God strengthened my voice. And right now, this voice of this little backward guy with all these insecurities who gets sick at the thought of giving an oral report is on the airwaves. Amen. And it's on the World Wide Web, and it's going to China. And it's going to the Philippines, and it's going to the United Kingdom, and it's going to South Africa, and it's going to Norway and the Netherlands. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And it went down in the sea in the United States Navy submarine. Praise God. And was their devotionals in that submarine. And it went to Germany to a military base. Amen. Where people of like faith gathered in a house to have a church service. And it went to a nursing home in North Carolina and was their devotional service, and it went to a jail in Louisville, Kentucky. Amen. Hallelujah. And I didn't do anything to get it anywhere. God did it. Hallelujah. Who made a man's mouth? God did. Amen. And he said he will send his word, and he's done it for all of these years, praise God. But I'm going to tell you something. There have been many times I've been to Gethsemane, and that pressure was put on. And if I had the choice, I wouldn't have climbed up on that olive press. And yet there's where the full surrender takes place. The Bible said Jesus was sorrowful. His soul was sorrowful, even unto death. And as he prayed, his sweat became as great drops of blood. Literally what was taking place because of that pressure that was on him. Capillaries just underneath the skin begin to break and bleed under his skin. And blend with the sweat from his sweat glands. And a reddish brown, thick mixture came out of his sweat glands. And his sweat became as great drops of blood because that press was there. And ultimately the relief came, not when the press was lifted, but when he totally submitted to it. This is incredible. It's the surrender that brings serenity. It's where God wants to bring every one of us, but if we keep jumping off, amen, he can't take us to where he wants us, and that starts the whole process all over again. Who's ever been to a dentist? And he gets in a process of doing what he's got to do to help you. Do you want him to stop, or you want him to hurry up and get it done and over with? I want him to get it done and over with. Can you say, I don't want it prolonged. I don't want to do anything to make him have to stop if I can help it. I want him to get in there, get it on, and get it over with. Amen. Jesus said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will be done. Oh, something happened. The Bible said in, oh, by the way, he prayed differently too. He didn't pray this big, faith-filled, bold, huff-puff, blow-your-house-down prayer. Can you say amen? He prefaced his prayer with Abba, Father. Everybody say Abba, Father. Because Abba is the Aramaic word for daddy or dada. It is the first word formed by infants when they recognize who their male parent is. And they say Abba. The counterpart would be dada. Amen. Jesus said Abba, Father, Daddy God. In other words, I am in a place of such surrender, such desperate need of your grace and help to get through this. I'm not addressing you as the great omnipotent King of glory, but my Father, my Daddy. Can you say, man? Isn't that incredible how he prayed? We got people out there strutting around like banty roosters telling you how to use your faith. I believe Jesus ought to be the supreme example of how to use your faith. Can you say amen? If you're trying to develop your faith to get what you want done, amen, you're in for a rough ride. You may lose your faith before it's over. But if you will surrender, amen, yourself unto him so that your faith is used to get his will done, prayers are going to be answered. How do you know? For this is the confidence that we have in him, Sean. If we ask anything according to what? His will. Amen. We know that what? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. But the first place of prayer is not telling God what to do. It's finding out what his will is. And if you can't pray it open, don't pry it open. Is that okay with you? If you can't pray it open, don't pry it open? Can you? Amen. I am not going to go in debt for a building that God isn't ready for us to use. I'm not going to pry it open because we have good credit. Because then we're going to be stuck with a bill. God don't have to help us do anything. Amen. I'm so glad the Lord didn't give us what we wanted when we thought we wanted it. But we had the builder out here. And we had the grand plan. But God had another plan. You know what the Lord told us when he brought us here? John, you said the latter days of ministry would be greater than the former. And I'm sitting looking at the little crowd here and I'm saying, I'm not questioning you or God. I'm just saying. Can you say, man? And then the Lord gave us about three times there was spiritual utterance. I will bring them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And I saw this community. We're centered here. And I'm not saying this church shouldn't grow or isn't going to grow. And we're not going to need a bigger building because we got the property for it. And we're in the place God wants us. But I thought that's how it's going to happen. That's how it's going to happen. But did you know something? It didn't happen like I thought it was going to happen. And I could have got discouraged and quit, or I could try to pry it open. I could have got me a resume and written it up and said, pastoral ministry, 37 years. Radio ministry, compiled the different years that we were on radio. Missions in Jamaica and Haiti. Ah, what a resume. And I could send my resume out. Seasoned. Amen. Reverend Doctor, matter of fact, I preached at a church in Plant City, and I guess I didn't have enough degrees, but they liked the ministry, so they gave me an honorary title. And they asked the deacon that asked me to come and preach for them, they said, when is Dr. Venable coming back? Hallelujah. Close as I'll ever be to Dr. Venable. I met a man one time, had a doctor's degree in divinity, and showed it to me, a doctor of divinity. Amen. But so he had out beside his name, Reverend so-and-so, D.D. And he said, back before I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, D.D. meant doctor of divinity. He said, now that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, it means devil destroyer. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I kind of like that. Get the Holy Ghost, it kind of changes everything. You don't lean on your education, even though it be theologically correct. You lean on the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. So God did it another way. You have to get in that place of surrender. And the Lord says, and then the Lord began to bless an outreach. And here we are trying to just, amen, have a you know, more people in this building, which would constitute, what, maybe 100, maybe 500. There are people listening over the air, downloading by podcast, and taking the gospel, Lord only knows where. Amen, 100 the first month, wasn't there? About 100, 90 to 100 the first month downloaded, and that means they can take it on an MP3 player anywhere, and God has a history of sending it. And now I look at the list of where the gospel is going from our website, downloaded sermons, and guess where it's going? North. Not of Tampa. Not of Florida. Not of the United States. But the world. Oslo, Norway. Two downloads from Oslo. And another place in Norway after that that I can't pronounce. There are places in Bosnia-Herzegovina that I can't pronounce. But the gospel is going. Hits from Borneo. What's in Borneo? I didn't know they had laptops in Borneo. Somebody's listening to the gospel in Borneo. Wow, you just think of jungle and wild monkeys. Amen. But God said there's people there. I said the north, the south. You know, He said, I will bring them. Bring them where? To here? This little church? No, I'll bring them to the website. I'll bring them to the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'll bring them. China. South Korea. Hollywood, California. Washington, D.C. Incredible where God has sent His Word. Can you say, man? It just boggles my mind from the stumbling. Little guy that can't give an oral report, who God said, I'm going to strengthen your voice. And that don't mean make me a big shot preacher. It just means get His Word. Hallelujah. Through a vessel to where He wants it for His purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're part of that. I don't know what God's doing in China, but I know something we're preaching here, He wants them to hear. Because we're preaching a kingdom that is worth suffering for. A king that is worth sacrificing for. Can you say amen? A master that is worth laying down our life for. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I just saw, because of Brother Doug and the website, a man who was charged with blasphemy. They just executed. They're getting ready to execute a woman, Christian. In Pakistan, they just killed a man charged with blasphemy. And it wasn't the government that did it. Court did it. They threw out the case for lack of evidence. But two men came to his door because he owned a scooter shop. And they walked him. This is this last week, I guess. And they walked him outside his front door a few steps and they shot him to death because he's a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. Because he's a Christian. Amen. People today, this day, are laying down their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're following Jesus in those countries for self-indulgent reasons, like so many are inspired to follow Him here, amen, you will never stand the test. Can you say amen? Your Father knows that you have food and He will feed you. Have you not read where it is written? I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Your Father will clothe you. Your Father will take care of your needs. But your Father has a will and a purpose. Put His kingdom first. And His grand purpose for you will be fulfilled. And all of the other things He will take care of, saith the Spirit of God. I want to validate that with Scripture. Too many people are building their faith to get God to give them answers instead of surrendering their life so that God can keep His promise to provide their needs. It doesn't start with believing primarily. It starts with bowing. Take you no thought for your life. Don't be like the self-indulgent world. God knows you have needs and they are legitimate and He will address them, but not because you make them the primary thing that you're after. Can you say amen? You don't develop your faith to get God to give you what you want. You develop your faith to get God to have His will and purpose realized in your life. It involves the death to self. Amen. It involves the olive press. I wish I could tell you I've been through the olive press situations. And now I'm standing in His image. Fullness of the stature. When you see me, you see the fullness of the stature of the measure of Jesus. No, you do not. I am not there yet. You know what Paul said? Amen. He said, I'm not there either. Amen. In fact, we're not going to get there through this entire journey, but we will be in process this entire journey. I'd like to think I'm a little more mature than I was 5 years ago in understanding the place of trials and tests in my own life. I'm glad I didn't throw in the towel because this church didn't immediately grow. I'm glad for the radio ministry. I'm glad for the website. I'm glad that there's 37 years of sermon material that's now, as the Lord leads, being put up online so it can go to the nations of the world. If we'd tried to do that at our best with our church full, we couldn't achieve it. But God's done it while we've been here and been faithful. Can you say amen? Are you glad to be part of an outreach to the nations of the world? I mean, there's churches all over Tampa. We're church poor. Can you say, man? We got churches on every corner. But there are churches with way more folks that don't have that opportunity and that window. God has given it to us because He chooses. How does He make His choices? He chooses the weak things. Yes. Well, here we are. He chooses the base things. He chooses the things that are not. Amen. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Can you say amen? Not let the wise man, he's got some degrees himself, glory in his wisdom. Can you say amen? But he that glory, let him glory in this that he knows and understands me, saith the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God chooses the weak to confound the strength of the mighty. He chooses the foolish in the eyes of the world to confound the wisdom of the wise. Can you say amen? Why does He do that? So that, I love one translation. Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I made strong. One translation says that my strength shows up best in weak people. The closer I am to ministers, the more I see that they are human beings. It's kind of nice to find out that they are actual human beings. There are ministers who won't come to these meetings because they don't want us to find out that they're human beings. I've got news for them. We know it anyway. As much as they try to hide it, we know that they are human beings. Can you say amen? It's one thing to stand under the anointing in the spotlight for an hour and act like you're not a human being. It's another thing to go home with you. Live with you. Amen? You want to know what a minister's like? Ask his wife. She knows the man. Amen? And that doesn't mean he's a fraud. It just means that he's a human being like everybody else. Elijah, who saw that fire come down out of heaven. Wow! He was a man of like passions as you. Isn't that incredible? But he prayed, something we can all do in faith. And it was in the will of God, so God answered. If you're in the olive press, God's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to perfect you. And in that sense, you can interpret everything, even the things we dislike, as working together for good. If you love the Lord, then you care about His purpose for you. If you're full of self-love, you just want your way. But if you love the Lord, His will becomes a real issue with you. Can you say amen? I love my wife. I didn't want to drag her into ministry. We had a healthy fear of ministry. We'd just been close enough to pastors to see some of the things they went through. So I didn't expect her. I worked for Tampa Electric. I would have had 42 years with them now if I'd stayed with them. I would have had a retirement from Tampa Electric and my Social Security. And I could just see me sitting in a Winnebago going down the road, headed for who knows where. And I wouldn't get one of them bobblehead dogs. I got me a dog that bobbles his own head. Amen. When we go somewhere. And I could just see that little spotted dog that we rescued here at church sitting up on the dash looking out the window. Amen. Pamela back there cooking hot dogs. Amen. Ready to pull over at the rest stop and just cruise on, moving on down the road. Just cruising on down the road. Is that the Whiz? Maybe it was. I don't know. Anyway, amen. That's another whole thing. I have to ask my brother because he's old school. Me and him can relate. Amen. Praise God. You don't remember the Whiz, but anyway. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm going to tell Pamela that we're going to give up a career here. We're going to go to a church in a bad part of Tampa, Suffering Springs. Amen. We're going to give up all our securities. We're going to give up insurance. We're going to give up all of these things that everybody's trying to achieve to preach the gospel. We're going to go live in a house that's about to fall down. We're going to sell our property. We're going to give up every dime and everything that represents security. We're going to give it up. Trust you. And I'm going to walk in and tell the woman, I am the head of this house. And God has told me to quit my job and go preach. And it's going to be great suffering and sacrifice. But woman, you come and go with me. That's just what I need on top of the suffering and sacrifice, is to have her disagreement. So you... Yeah. She said my suffering would start real quick if I pulled it that way. So I went before God because God gave me a date to leave Tap Electric, all that security. He gave me a date. An actual date, a month and a date to give my notice. And I thought, I got to give my notice, but I got to tell her. And how am I going to tell her this? How do I present it, Lord? And I went before God in prayer. And I said, Lord, somehow let Pamela, I need her to be a partner with me. I don't just need to drag her along. I need her to be a partner with me. I need her agreement. Lord, speak to Pamela. So I'd forgotten that I'd prayed that afternoon to speak to Pamela. And this is about 2 months out from the date or 6 weeks out from the date. We're coming down to the wire. I remember sitting at the table. We were having supper. It had been a long, hard day, and that was off my mind. I wasn't thinking about that. And Pamela suddenly stopped eating. She looked up, and if I remember correctly, she said, I believe after this date, she named a date, that we're going to be in full-time ministry. And that was the exact date that God had told me to give my notice. So not only was it a confirmation to me that it really was God and not me. One way I knew it wasn't me is because I didn't want to do it. Because the church that I was going to take, the pastor of the church came to me and said, God showed me that I was to resign this church soon, and that a man and his wife and two children were going to come and take this church. Two boys. And I just happened to have a wife and two boys. But I thought, there's a whole lot of people in the city of Tampa with a wife and two boys. Can you say, man? Amen. And I remember looking at her and I said, well, you know, I just kind of discredited that. I thought, no, not pastor. No, I want to hit and run. I want to be the guest speaker. I want to be the evangelist. I want to go in and bring the word of God, and then I want to tear out that door and go home, pop popcorn, and watch television and not think about all the problems of a church. Can you say amen? How many know the evangelist gets to go on? Pastor can't go nowhere. Amen. He got to come back next Sunday. And if everybody's mad at him, he's got to face them. He can't run away. He's chained to the pulpit until they throw him away. But anyway, amen. And I thought, Lord, it can't be me. That's not in my idea of ministry. I will preach. You strengthen me, but not pastor. But when he confirmed it to my wife, he put us in agreement. We gave in our resignation. Amen. We came to a church with about one other thing. Oh, we got another confirmation, because I was going to make it really hard on God. He was going to have to really tell me to do this. Amen. So we sat and we said, if it's really you, Lord, because we just read the scripture about Paul not knowing which way to go in ministry. And that night as he slept, a Macedonian man said, come and help us. And when he woke up the next morning, he set off for Macedonia. And I said, Lord, if you want us in this church to be the pastor here, let something be mentioned in this service about the Macedonian man. Well, the pastor preached the whole service. It wasn't anything about no Macedonian man. And I was starting to feel better and better. Because I'm saying, man, I'm going to get to just preach and leave like I normally do. I don't have to take on some kind of pastor responsibility. See, that press was going to come on me. Amen. And I didn't want to be in the press. I just wanted to do the thing that I felt comfortable doing. Not my will, but thy will. It was not thy will, but my will. Because your will couldn't be this. And so I'm thinking, well, I gave him the opportunity. Now, the lady said that a guy and his wife and two boys. Well, there's a whole lot of guys with wives and two boys. That's not enough. Amen. But I've heard them. So anyway, we're at the end of the service. Very end of the service. And I'm breathing easier. And I'm thinking, no confirmation here. That means it's still up in the air. That means God has cut me some slack here. I mean, I cut him myself some slack. And at the end of the service, the song lead, Sister Kathy, Sister White said, before I close this service, I just feel led to sing a song. Send the light. That's a good song, evangelistic. I love it. Because the chorus was, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, da-da-da, da-da-da-da. And I thought, yes, send the light. Here am I, send me. I'll go preach, praise God. Good song. Then it got to the words. It got down to the verse, Sean. I have heard the Macedonian call today. I can't say he didn't confirm it now. I don't have any wiggle room now. I got to get up on that olive press now and lay down and say, let me be a pastor, squish. Because there were some people in there didn't want me, didn't love me, didn't even like me. Amen. Tried their best to destroy me. Almost did without the grace of God. Amen. And I did it for so many years under such a heavy anointing to confirm my calling that I didn't realize I was being pressed beyond measure until one day it was beyond measure. And I won't go on any further this morning, but I went through nervous exhaustion. And that's when the press became the heaviest. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, and there's a rest to this story. Amen. But God not only brought me through that fiery trial, amen, but he's taught me things. And I come at this Bible, and I come at faith, and I come at the scriptures with a whole different outlook, because there's a mind in me that was also in him. Amen. I'm not like him yet. Amen. But my mindset is matching his. Can you say, man, I don't care about a reputation. I care about the souls of men and women. If I cared about a reputation, I'd be sending my resume to churches somewhere around this country. Amen. So I could get more prestige. But that's not what I'm in this for. Can you say amen? I know that I'm going to suffer some more things. Amen. I know it's not over. But I know something in the midst of those sufferings, whatever breaks down my flesh and my confidence in myself is going to make more room for Him in my life. Amen. And a day is going to come when I can look at a congregation and say, it's not I that live, Brother Taylor. It's Christ that's living in me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I glory in the cross because by it I'm crucified to this world. And this world is crucified unto me. They will never understand my value system. They will never get it. How can they get it? So if you're going through a crucible of testing, you're in Gethsemane. And Paul said, and you can see the pressure on him as well, he said, we were pressed beyond measure until we despaired of life itself. That meant we just said, Lord, take us home. Moses got there before God could really craft him and use him. Moses got there. He had 3 million people. They had goat problems too. Goat eat somebody's laundry? Where are they? Bright and early, 6 a.m., getting Moses up to make them pay for the laundry the goat ate. He's got that from daylight till dark. People fussing and putting him in the middle. And you say, man, that never happens in church, I'm glad to say. Not. Amen. Anyway, and there he was, day in and day out, until he despaired of life itself. Amen. He said, why don't you just take me home? Now, if you want to stretch your stuff, you want to build your faith where you manipulate life and never surrender to God, keep refusing to become more like Jesus. Don't ever get the mindset that the flesh isn't going to reign anymore, but the will of God in my life. Then there are ministries designed to indulge you. But I'm going to tell you something. The ministry that teaches you self-indulgence will never teach you to be a follower of Jesus. Because the first prerequisite is self-denial, not self-indulgence. Can you say amen? If I indulged my flesh, I would have stayed with Tampa Electric. I would not have quit that job. I would have not become a pastor. Amen? I would have never burned out. But God took the ashes of my burnout, and He's built a better ministry. Brother Taylor called me the other day and on his cell phone, and he's talking about the change in the ministry. Well, the ministry's changed because the minister has suffered. And the Bible said after. Do you understand suffering in the flesh is not defeat to the enemy? It's coming to the place of total surrender to God. And self-denial is not doing without anything. It's making more room for God in your life, who can fulfill you like nothing in this world could ever fulfill you anyway. Do you see the positive side to this? Amen. The Bible said after you as a Christian have suffered for a while, He will establish, strengthen, and settle you. Isn't that incredible? Establish, strengthen, and settle you. I've got a deep, settled assurance that no matter what happens, God is on the throne in heaven and here, both, and that He is in control. Glory be to God, even when things seem to be out of control. And that all things are working. I know this now. I know it because I'm surrendered to that reality. Amen, that it's working together for good. Good is going to come because we're going to keep trusting God through it all. And God's going to bring us through. And the fire's not going to kindle on us. And the floods are not going to overflow us. There's no getting out of this crucible of testing. There is victory within it and joy. Now, since I'm in an area that God is going to commit ministry to other nations to and is doing that now, He's got to be able to trust me that I'm not going to fumble or drop the ball. I can't just quit because I get angry. I can't just give up because I get discouraged. I can't just walk away because I'm not applauded and appreciated in every corner. I can't just stomp off when somebody hurts my feelings. Can you say amen? I have to bow to all of that, give it to God, and say, Lord, I'm going to make that broadcast Tuesday. I'm going to be in that pulpit Sunday. I'm going to proclaim your gospel. Whether I'm broken or blessed, I'm going to preach your word. Whether I'm applauded or put down, I'm going to lift you up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it wouldn't surprise me if one day I didn't get a round trip plane ticket to Africa paid for. If you just come and share the word. Do I need that? No. But if God wants it done, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Amen. Because we're already there through the word of God. Now as we close, how many people in here want God's will in your life? You really want God's will in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We live in a day, someone said in closing, when evil seems to be winning on every hand. How do you live above the chances and changes and circumstances in life? What is your security when hunted down like an animal? Paul said we're persecuted but not destroyed because of your love for Christ. The Apostle Paul demonstrated in his life that the believer can experience peace in the middle of the fire. A day is coming when evil will receive its just reward. God, who is judge of all, sees all. He will repay affliction to those who afflict his people. But this is no tit-for-tat thing. It involves the righteousness of God. Paul's letters are a good example of a grace-oriented ministry to people who are hurting. The principles we learn from his message is to give us strength to face everyday life filled with pressures. It also gives us the resources to help people who are hurting. If God hadn't brought me through what he brought me through, I would give you a little faith formula. Just a little quick faith formula. But without surrendering to God, none of that junk is going to work for you. Become disillusioned, disappointed. But if you surrender to God, he's going to bring you through whatever you're facing. And you're not going to come out battered, beaten, and beleaguered. You're going to come out better. Amen? More like Jesus Christ because of the things that have touched your life and that you have trusted him with in full surrender. By the way, after Jesus did that, amen, not my will but thine be done, the Bible said, and angels came. Angels came. Angels came. Angels came and ministered unto him. Isn't that incredible? That means all of heaven's resources will line up behind you to fulfill the will of God and the purpose of God in your life. And here's something else that sounds like it don't even fit into this. Amen. The Bible said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross while despising the shame. For the what? For the joy that was set before him. Where is that joy? That joy was fully realized. When he hung on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them. I know why I'm dying here. And Lord, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. And when the first person, after that veil was torn, after that blood was shed, said, Jesus, Father, have mercy on me. In Jesus' name. And Jesus was able to stand as the great high priest, hallelujah, and span that gulf between a holy God and fallen man, hallelujah, for the joy of seeing that one, and then that two, and then that 5,000, and then that 10,000, and then that first million come into the kingdom of God and be saved. He could see past the cross, amen. He could see you, he could see me, crying out for mercy, and because of his sacrifice, have that mercy granted. Can you say amen? For the joy that was set before him, hallelujah, he endured the cross while despising the shame. Sometimes I have a time at church. Sometimes I smile a lot, and sometimes you laugh with me, because if it wasn't for the joy, Sean, I would have quit a long time ago. Praise God. What I'm doing is dead serious, and so is my joy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is what is strengthening me. And it's going to keep us, Sister Venable. Praise God. Will you stand to your feet today, brother? Would you come? How do you say thanks for the things that He has done? How do we say thanks for things this wonderful? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. If I put my glasses on, we can close quicker. Praise the Lord.